I'm David Patrick, and you are listening to Gospel Tangents.
Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett, and I'm also proud to make an announcement here. We have joined the Dialogue Podcast Network, and so it's fun to team up with Dialogue. For those of you into Mormon history, you know Dialogue's been around for decades talking about Mormon history, so it's great and exciting to be teaming up with them, and we're going to be talking a lot about Mormon history, so this is great. We welcome any new Dialogue listeners that we may have, and also just wanted you to check out this page. As you can see, some of the other blogs and podcasts that are on here are Mormon News Network with Brant Malone and Jenny Noonan Dye. We've also got Beyond the Block, Face in the Hat, and Words Fall In from Segula. So check out those other podcasts. We're all part of the Dialogue Podcast Network, and so this is kind of an exciting thing. And so check out those. Now, let's talk about our next episode. We're going to be talking with Anne Wild. In 1969, she helped write the book with her husband, Ogden Kraut. Jesus Was Married, as you can see here. And so this book has been out for 50 years now. So Ogden wrote the book back in 1969, and we'll talk about how it's become a very influential book among fundamentalist Mormons. We're also going to be talking to David Patrick. He's an apostle for Christ Church, so we'll learn a little bit more about them. And David has some more modern scholarship that he thinks supports that Jesus was married. So it'll be fun to get to know David a little better, and it's also great to have Anne back on the show. So check out our conversation. Well, welcome to Gospel Tangents Podcast. I have two really awesome guests. And so what I'd like to do, I know, Anne, you've been on here before. Could you go ahead and remind my listeners who you are?
Okay, I'm Anne Wild. I have been working as an advocate for consenting adult polygamy for probably half my life or more. I was also a plural wife of Ogden Kraut and helped him write 65 books on church history and doctrine. And just before he passed away, I became involved with some other girls in establishing what we called Principal Voices. And we've decided to present the side of plural marriage that was more positive than what had been out there in public for so many years. And so we were involved in lobbying up at the Capitol, gave a lot of presentations to different groups, to government agencies, to help them understand that everybody that lived plural marriage was not guilty of fraud or welfare abuse or child abuse, that there were many, many families that were happy, adjusted, consenting adults in the polygamous lifestyle. So as a result of that, or just before we really got started, we wrote a book called Voices in Harmony, Contemporary Women Celebrate Plural Marriage. And that book sold nearly 1,000 copies. And that isn't very many compared to some, but it really kind of opened the door for us to have an audience and have the media turn to people that were willing to talk out positively about the principle. So that was almost 20 years ago when our book came out. Mm-hmm. And it's been a very interesting journey since then. The Olympics happened about 2 years after, well, a year and a half, really, after our book came out. And it was very interesting to talk to reporters from all different countries and explain to them the message that we had to give. And today, we've kind of semi-retired. We feel like we've opened the doors. We've laid the groundwork for people to understand the lifestyle. And I'm 83 years old, so things have kind of slowed down a little bit.
Well, that's great. And then, David, this is your premiere on Gospel Tangents, although we've talked another time. I just haven't released that interview yet. That's going to be a fun interview. But I understand Anne, I guess I should mention this. You're what we would call an independent. You're not associated with any group.
Right.
But David, you are associated with the group, so could you go ahead and tell us who you are and what group
Sure.
you're associated with?
So my name's David Patrick, and I am a member of Christ Church, also known as The Branch. And we have members in Utah and in Nevada and Arizona, a few other states, but we're a small group. And we have been active in as a faith since 1978, though I have not been involved with that that since that time. And and we go around doing various firesides and talks, and this subject matter of Jesus was married, or was Jesus married, depends on how you want to approach it. We thought, you know, this would be an interesting one to talk about. And so we put that on at one of the recent venues called Sunstone Symposium. Mm-hmm. So I put together a presentation on that. And I drew from the book that Auden Kraut wrote. And, of course, Anne was right there involved with that. And so I thought it would be fun for us to all get together and talk about that subject.
Yeah.
And you were like, that's an interesting subject.
Yeah,
so
this is the 50th anniversary of the publication of Jesus Was Married.
Right.
Uh-huh. And so we're definitely going to want to talk about that. And that's because of what we're going to do. But I'd like to know a little bit more about your church. So it started in 1978.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we would all
April.
Say Joseph Smith was the founder, but who started,
right.
what happened in 1978 to get it going?
Right. In April of 1978, Gerald Peterson Sr. was requested of the Lord to organize a new church. And so that was April. Then you've got a proliferation from that time of membership. And it's ebbed and it's flowed in its membership over that time. But that's 40 years ago.
Well,
that's over 40 years ago now.
Oh, yeah, it
now.
Is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what brings to my mind is in the LDS Church, there was a momentous revelation in June of 1978.
Right.
Was this before or after that revelation?
This was before
that before.
Revelation.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay, well, that's interesting. So,
and our mission is to keep the fullness of the gospel intact, and so we do temple work, we do missionary work.
You have your own temple, is that correct?
That's right.
Where is it located?
Yeah, we started with a temple in Utah, but now we also have a temple in Nevada as
okay.
well.
The temple in Utah is
in southern Utah.
Oh, it's in southern Utah. I was
yeah.
thinking Spanish Fork for some reason, but no,
yeah.
it's in southern Utah.
We hold meetings in Spanish Fork, Utah, but,
okay.
but we don't have a temple there.
And it looks kind of like a pyramid, is that right?
Uh-huh, yeah. The one in southern Utah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yep.
I've seen pictures of it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So our effort is to say, you know, there are the principles of the gospel, and we're here to keep them intact and alive.
Well, and I'm excited because I understand you're an apostle, and so I don't get to talk to very many apostles, so this is a treat for me. And plus, I like the purple shirt. It's not white like my shirt. So there's some color. I think that's great. So awesome. So, Anne, can you tell us a little bit about the writing of the book? And, in fact, I think you've got the first edition copy as well as the current edition.
Yeah.
Go ahead and show those to our...
I've been organizing my office and everything, and I forgot I even had this. This is the first edition that came out in February of 1969.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 50 years ago, 50 and a half. And then this is the way it looks today after 8 printings.
Okay.
Ogden's son, Kevin, has kept up the reprinting of the books, a lot of them that we run out of.
Uh-huh.
And this has been the first book that Ogden did. And
oh, it was the first one.
It was the very first one that he actually had bound or, you know, to put together. He had written some 8.5 by 11 things that we stapled on different subjects, like one was on seer stones and Adam God and things like that before he actually started putting books together in this format. And so when it came out of the binder, we knew that Joseph Fielding Smith believed in this Joseph Jesus Was Married. So we decided he gave the first copy to me and inscribed it, which was wonderful. That's what that is. But then we took the next copy over to the church office building, and we went up to Joseph Fielding Smith's office. He was president of the Quorum of the Twelve at the time. Okay. And at that time, there was no security. You just walked in, took an elevator up to the floor where his office was, walked right into the secretary and said, "We have a book we'd like to give to President Smith." He was president of the Quorum of the Twelve, but he was still called president. Mm-hmm. And would that be okay? And so she walked in, because the door was open to his office, and he was sitting at his desk. And she said something to him, and he motioned us to come in. So we went in, and Ogden handed him a copy of the book. And he gave him a minute to take a look at it. And then Ogden said, "Well, what do you think of that?" "Oh," quote, "absolutely. It could be no other way. The account of his marriage is right there in the New Testament." And so with that endorsement, it kind of opened the doors to when we took other people this book. "Well, this is what Joseph Fielding Smith said." Of course, the marriage he was referring to was a marriage of Cana. Talks about in John, 2nd chapter, 1 through 12. And he firmly believed that that was the case, that that was Christ's marriage. And there's all kinds of, if you know Jewish tradition very well, you understand that the parents are the ones that arranged a marriage. They were the hosts of the marriage. So it was very common for a mother or a father of the bridegroom to make sure everything went smoothly. So when Mary went to Jesus and said about the wine, well, why would she do that unless she was the mother or the parent of whoever was getting married? And then when he responded that his time was not come yet, but nevertheless she said to the servants, "Well, do whatever he says." Well, where does she get the authority to tell the servants of somebody else what to do? And so there's all kinds of connections if you understand the Jewish traditions at the time that he was the bridegroom. And it says that the bridegroom and the disciples were called to the wedding. Well, other people make the preparations, like the parents or Mary or whoever. When all the preparations are made for the wedding, they call the bridegroom and the groomsmen to the ceremony, so they come in. I mean, you look at the terminology that is used in John, and you look and compare that to the traditions of the time, it could be no other way than have Jesus be the bridegroom.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with David Patrick and Ann Wild. In our next conversation, we'll talk about the wedding in Cana, found in the New Testament. You know, historically, Jesus was known as being an exceedingly poor, the poorest of the poor. I was a little surprised that Anne didn't agree with that assessment.
I don't believe that Jesus was that poor. When it says Joseph was a carpenter, it didn't necessarily mean he went out with hammer and nails. He could have been a contractor. In fact, the apocryphal information you read on him is that he was a very well-respected contractor, what we would use today. He wasn't necessarily just a poor carpenter.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please support Gospel Tangents and become a subscriber. For just $5 a month, go to patreon.com/gospeltangents and you can hear the entire interview. And you can also get transcripts available in either our Amazon website, or if you want to give the money to me and not Amazon, please subscribe on my website at gospeltangents.com and you can click the yellow subscribe button. Of course, we're also on Facebook, Twitter, and all the other places. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. And don't forget to click here to subscribe on YouTube, here for a transcript. And over here, we've got some more of our great videos. Thanks again for listening.